I'm Emma Curtis, celebrant and secular minister, founder and CEO of Ceremony Matters. I'm also an opera singer and grief and resilience counsellor. I've been creating person-centred ceremonies for over 7 years with many lessons learned. I'm glad to share my experiences both at the lectern and on stage by speaking out about our rights when someone dies while supporting funeral celebrants with advanced trainings, mentoring and support. This year, Ceremony Matters National Conference for Funeral Celebrants is focused on inclusion and diversity. I've been working together with trans activist Ash Hayhurst on this and other projects, and he will be presenting at our Celebrant Conference in October about LGBTQIA plus experiences and perspectives on diversity. I'm delighted that Ash has agreed to write a series of blog posts for Ceremony Matters for LGBTQIA plus people and the funeral professionals who serve our communities. Ash Hayhurst is a relatively new kid on the block and has been a part-time funeral arranger in London since April 2019. Before joining the funeral profession, Ash volunteered with LGBT plus charities Stonewall Housing and Educate and Celebrate, helping to develop workshops and resources for young people. He has a degree in popular music composition and is a qualified secondary school music teacher. Ash is a bisexual transgender man and his pronouns are he, him. Here is Ash to read his blog.
Hi, I'm Ash. I'll be reading this blog post as an accessible audio recording. Image description. A dark scene showing lit candles and a lantern, one of which is decorated with a rainbow. Why I Wrote a Guide to Funeral Planning for Queer People by Ash Hayhurst. Published on the Ceremony Matters blog, June 9th, 2020. Image description. Four copies of my guide fanned against a white background and a turquoise fountain pen. In June 2019, I wrote a booklet called Making Informed Choices When Planning a Funeral, a guide for queer people. It's a guide for any LGBTQIA plus people who have questions about how their wishes can be respected when they die. It explores the process of arranging a funeral, how to register a death, the importance of confidentiality, dressing the person who has died, and some suggestions on what to do to make sure that your identity as an LGBTQIA plus person is validated after you die. Many funeral arrangers do not receive formal training. I was lucky enough to receive a good training. However, I am that annoying person who raises their hand 15 times to ask complicated questions and keep digging until I find an answer. And I definitely had a lot of questions that were specific to me and my queer friends who were curious about my new career. With the help of my new friends and colleagues, I did some research and wrote a booklet, which I hope helps with some of the worries LGBTQIA plus people might have about what happens after they die and answers some of their questions. Image description. Photo of me sitting in my armchair, with a thoughtful expression on my face. Three thought bubbles say, would the name on my death certificate have to be the same as on my birth certificate? Do people in civil partnerships have the same rights as people who are married after death? Are funeral directors LGBTQIA plus friendly, like properly? End of image description. Why are things different for LGBTQIA plus people? We are all equal when we're dead, and funeral directors treat people equally, no matter what faith, race, or sexuality they are, right? Well, I want you to have a look at some research. In 2018, the charity Stonewall published a series of LGBT in Britain reports. Stonewall commissioned YouGov to carry out a survey asking more than 5,000 LGBT people in Britain about their life. Two findings continue to strike me when I read these reports. Quote, 1 in 7 LGBT people, brackets 14%, close brackets, say they've avoided medical treatment for fear of discrimination because they're LGBT. Almost 2 in 5 trans people, brackets 37%, close brackets, and a third of non-binary people have avoided treatment for fear of discrimination. End quote. That's from LGBT in Britain Health, Stonewall, 2018. I'll give you an example of how this has affected me. I've been extremely lucky with my medical care, but I have still had some pretty bad experiences as a trans man. The one that stands out for me is when I went for an outpatient's procedure and was given a hospital bracelet with my birth name on it. The appointment letter I received was appropriately addressed to Mr. Hayhurst, and yet I was admitted to a female ward. My medical records had been updated 2 years previously with a new NHS number and a male gender marker. I was told by a nurse that I could not be admitted to the male ward as, quote, the bracelet had already been printed, close quote, and the doctor wouldn't know where to come and find me to take me for the procedure. Image description. A hospital identity bracelet which says male. This bracelet is from another visit when the hospital got my gender right. End of image description. Begin quote. A quarter of trans people, brackets 25%, close brackets, contacting emergency services in the last year were discriminated against based on their gender identity compared to 3% of LGB people who aren't trans. One in six Black, Asian and minority ethnic LGBT people, brackets 16%, close brackets, were discriminated against compared to 5% of white LGBT people, end quote. That's from the LGBT in Britain Hate Crime and Discrimination Report, Stonewall, 2017. It makes complete sense to me that LGBTQIA+ people might reach a point where they avoid treatment because it becomes too traumatizing for them to have their identity repeatedly invalidated, or worse. Some people experience harassment and bullying, or are refused treatment because of their identity. And that's just one aspect of life that can be difficult. LGBTQIA+ people experience higher levels of anxiety and depression and are more likely to have experienced homelessness at some point in their lives. And only half of lesbian, gay, bi and trans people feel able to be open about their sexual orientation or gender identity to everyone in their family. One in seven trans people aren't open about their gender identity to anyone in their family. Image description. A person with long hair pulled up into a bun, looking out of a window. A refracted rainbow covers the picture. If I'm honest, I wanted my questions answered so that I could reassure myself as well as the queer community. I wanted to know that when I die, my trans body will be treated with dignity and respect. I wanted to know that the name on my death certificate doesn't have to match the name on my birth certificate, and that whoever goes to register my death has the right information so that they can honour my wish to have my death registered in my current name and gender. I wanted to know that my friends who are in civil partnerships have the same spousal rights as people who are married. And I wanted to know if funeral directors, faith ministers and celebrants would keep information about someone's LGBTQIA+ status confidential. And above all, I wanted to know if the Equalities Act still applies to people who have died. It turns out that the Equalities Act does not apply to people who have died, and that once you are dead, you have no rights. Yes, I was shocked by that too, and there is a whole other blog post on that topic percolating in my noggin as we speak. Image description. An illustration of a person who could be any gender, sitting at a desk, pointing at a laptop screen, looking astounded. If a person's next of kin really wanted to give someone a funeral that invalidates or ignores their LGBTQIA+ identity, there are sadly enough grey areas within the law to make that a very real possibility. This fills me with horror and sadness. Funeral professionals are legally obliged to carry out the instructions of the person who is paying for the funeral, as long as they act within the law. Much of what we do in the funeral profession is based on trust. Who are we to question a recently bereaved client, and how would we know if they were only telling us one part of the life story of the person who has died? For trans people especially, not having your identity validated is a very real concern while we are living, as well as after we die. Image description. 9 button badges on lined paper. Some are pronoun badges, others are for Stonewall Housing, the Albert Kennedy Trust, Gallup, Gaze the Word Bookshop, and Open Barbers. The middle button says Stop Transphobia in a circle with a red line across it. My hope is that by arming LGBTQIA+ people with the information they need, they can put plans in place to ensure their funeral wishes are honoured. Sometimes this can mean something as simple as writing out a wishes statement, but I would always advise if the situation is complex, seeking legal advice. Brackets. You can find LGBTQIA+ lawyers through the link on the Stonewall website at the end of this post. Close brackets. If we have information, we can make informed choices and help others make decisions that are right for them. Funeral professionals, please be explicit about being LGBTQIA+ friendly so that people are more likely to be open and ask the questions that they need to and can say goodbye to the person who has died in a way that honours the way they live their life without fear of discrimination. If you have enjoyed this blog, look out for the next blogs in the series or subscribe to Ceremony Matters emails so that we can let you know when a new blog goes up. If you wish to, please submit a comment below. Copyright Ash Hayhurst, 2020. Resources. To find LGBTQIA+ friendly services and community groups, visit this page on the Stonewall website. stonewall.org.uk/help-advice/what's-my-area. For information and trans awareness training, visit the GIRES website. GIRES is spelled G-I-R-E-S. GIRES.org.uk. For support for LGBTQIA+ people, visit Mermaids, who support gender-diverse kids, young people and families, mermaidsuk.org.uk. Switchboard, who offer confidential support and advice for LGBTQIA+ people, switchboard.lgbt. And Gallup, the LGBT anti-violence charity, gallup.org.uk. Gallup is spelled G-A-L-O-P. I hope you've enjoyed this blog and this recording, and thank you for listening.